preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
There's no doubt that society around us is crumbling morally and spiritually. And if we were to sum it up with one great problem of what has happened in our society today that has led to its basic breakdown, it is a crumbling of the structure of the family. And that's what we're tackling on Abounding Grace Radio. This is now part three of our series on marriage and the family with Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And we are continuing looking at Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then what the New Testament says is the design that the Lord has recovered for us in the gospel, in the good news of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can go to the website at agradio.org and download those podcasts, a very important series for our day as we tackle marriage and the family. Well, Mike, last time we looked at some of the problems that have faced the man today. We looked at the curse that fell on him. We looked at the curse that happened that he would now struggle and toil to provide for the family. We looked at how he struggles to abandon his roles as a godly leader and at times even is prone toward tyranny. And last time we kind of ended by highlighting what was the gospel, what it has recovered for the man. And I think that's really important as we go into today to look at the roles of the woman as God has defined it, what she struggles with, to remind our listeners what God expects and how he expects the man to love his wife.
That's right. Again, we go back to creation and we see how God has designed this relationship between one man and one woman. It's a covenant relationship in which the spouses pledge to one another their undying loyalty, and that's what undergirds the relationship. If it's merely a relationship built on romance or emotion, it'll crumble as soon as that romance or emotion dissipates. But this is a relationship that's to be body with body, soul with soul, and the husband is to take up the responsibility then of being a leader, a servant leader to his wife, not a heavy-handed, domineering ogre, but rather one who loves his wife as Christ loves the church. And that's how Paul puts it in Ephesians 5. We're to be one who, husbands are to be those who sacrifice themselves and lead their wives by example in obedience to the Lord and serve her in every way. Even as we would nourish our own bodies, Paul says, we are to see that our wives are taken care of in every way.
You know, and we've been talking a lot about the man's responsibility to his wife. We're going to be dealing with a whole subject, a whole program on children. But it's important to say that the man is also called to nurture and to care for his children. You know, I read the statistic, Mike, that, you know, the average American father gives their children less than 3 minutes of undivided attention each day. That's 21 minutes a week. Listen, there's no way you could build a family and have these people, these children go out into society. I mean, you're just setting it up for a domino effect.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And men are called also to love their children.
Yeah, that is by God's design. Again, our children are pieces of ourselves, and they're to grow up in this structured environment of a family and in which they are nurtured and they blossom. And I hadn't read those statistics, but I don't see how you could nurture a child into adulthood with 3 minutes a day of undivided attention.
Yeah, it's sad, you know. And so what we're trying to do here is recover the biblical design. But, you know, I guess it's important to say too, Mike, we're not trying to cover a cultural design of the past. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, we're not telling the men to be like the overall father on, you know, Little House on the Prairie. Or we're not telling the women to be like June Cleaver.
Right. Yeah. We're not simply saying, look, we're trying to scroll back the clock to the 50s or the 1850s or whatever. Look, what we're explaining is that God has given us a design in creation that is very clear. Right. And this is what human beings are meant to be. And we see it even in nature. It takes one man, one woman to make a person. You can't do that with two men or with two women. And the man and the woman that come together are not to come together casually, but again, on the basis of a covenantal relationship where there are oaths and mutual trust pledged to one another. It's until death do us part. And that commitment is ultimately what gives the relationship structure and strength to continue on. We can't seek to enjoy the benefits of marriage if we don't take up the responsibilities of marriage. And that takes a formal covenant.
Right. And this biblical norm transcends any particular culture norm.
Right.
In other words, we just want to make sure people understand, oh, these guys are not Amish trying to push us back to a certain model. No, we're trying to say and teach, look at it scripturally, a norm that is normative for all generations.
In every culture. This is not a northern white European a cultural practice. You see marriage between a man and a woman in every culture, in every period of history.
Right. So today we're tackling now what has happened to the woman, what she faces. And it's really important to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and consider some of this. I'm going to just take us to the basics here, Mike. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" Eve responds and says, "Well, we can, but not one in the midst of the garden. We are not to eat of it or touch it, lest we die." And the devil said, "You will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, this is really fascinating. Eve ponders this. She sees that the tree is good for food, that it's pleasant to the eyes, that it's desirable to make one wise. In other words, she's pondering in her heart the issue that the devil proposed to her, that when she eats of it, she will be as God. What's on her mind? She would be wise. What would her eyes be open to? What would she see? Well, Satan was satanically assaulting her position. He was satanically assaulting where she was. She had been made as a helpmeet for the man. He's saying, "No, no, no, no. You're being held back, Eve. You can be something more. You can be as your own God. You can abandon the design from the beginning. You don't have to accept the position." So it's really interesting that this is an assault on God's word and God's design, and that he first comes to the woman. This is a challenging thing to consider, but I think it's important because the New Testament looks at this and tells us that there was an abandonment of roles that happened right from the beginning, and Satan starts with the woman.
Mm-hmm. Tell me when. And we need to understand that the roles that God had made in the beginning are good. Again, you know, sometimes there is this post-Enlightenment, sort of post-Christian idea that when we talk about biblical submission and roles of husband and wife, that we're saying that, well, you know, women ought to be in the kitchen and wear long dresses only, no makeup. They need to be outside churning the butter, being quiet. We're not saying anything like that. That is not God's design.
Right.
God's design in the beginning is that man and woman together, they are to rule together. They have been made king and queen, not king and slave girl. And our wives are to be treated with dignity and respect, and they have gifts and talents that God has given them that we are as leaders to draw upon. And as I pointed out in our last program, you know, my wife, for example, as I think every husband should be able to admit, she is gifted in so many ways that I am not. And in order for us to lead our family and to lead our children and to benefit mutually together, I need her gifts and I need her talents and her advice and expertise on all sorts of things. That should not threaten my leadership in any way. And no man should feel threatened by the gifts and talents of his wife. In other words, this is to be a mutual rule, but they have roles that God has designed that are good. What Satan did in the beginning was try to attack that and say, no, no, that's not what you want. You're not going to be fulfilled if you have this role of submission. You need to usurp the authority of your husband. And so what we see then is Satan attacking what God made and declared as good. And what has come of it? Has anything come that's good of it? You know, the whole feminization movement, is this really something that is progress for women? Well, in so many ways, we can see how, in fact, it is not. In so many ways, we see how women are treated with less dignity now, post-feminization movement, than they were before that. You know, all of a sudden, it's considered faux pas to get the door for a woman, as if I'm insulting her. When, in fact, historically, what that showed was that I was treating her with dignity and with respect. And what we want to see is how God's roles from the beginning are things, in fact, that are beneficial for human beings.
That's really good, Mike. And you know, you're absolutely right. You know, you talk about usurping authority. Satan is offering her to be freed and liberated from what he has presented as an oppressive design.
Right.
And you know, it's sad today. If a woman is a homemaker and she's working hard to nurture children, she's scoffed at.
I know. When in fact, she's working extremely hard.
Yeah, it's really a tragedy. And you know, I just want to, since I've done some reading on this, and I know you have too, you know, the whole problem of feminism needs to be brought into this because that's what Satan was offering.
Right,
Eve.
Right.
And, you know,
which is a lie. It's just a concocted lie.
Right. And, you know, Mary Cassian, well, I'll commend the book, The Feminine Mistake, which was basically a playoff 1963 Betty Friedan's book, The Feminine Mystique, which launched the feminist movement, which was the idea. Now, think about Satan here. The idea that women are trapped in the structures of a male-dominated society that has been pushed on them. And listen to her thesis. Listen to this. This is Friedan, okay? She said, women need and can trust no other authority than their own personal truth. It launched a collective women's movement called feminism, to which these women had these groups throughout the 1970s called consciousness raising groups, where they would get their girlfriends together. And the motivation was to speak bitterness and, quote, reveal bitterness, speak pain to reveal pain. And they would get together and they would talk about how bad their husbands are. We've got rotten husbands. We don't need to put up with this. And so on. So this became so mainstream that women, they said, need to be freed from a patriarchal society pushing chauvinist ideals and holding women back as second-rate citizens. Mm. The only way to break it is to destroy male superiority by refusing to accept the traditional male model. And the idea of feminism has won the day.
Yeah. You know, and again, we need to point out that Christianity doesn't teach male superiority.
Right.
It teaches that a husband and a wife have different roles. I like to think of it in terms of baseball. You have a pitcher and you have a catcher. Which one is better? Well, that's not the right question.
Right.
You need both of them, or you don't have a baseball team. You don't have a baseball game. They have different roles, though. One has an important role of throwing pitches. The other one has a very important role of reading those pitches, catching those pitches, telling the other which pitches to pitch. They have separate roles. The same is with regard to male and female. And look, no matter what our technological advancements are, men cannot have babies. We don't bear children. And God has designed women to bear children and to nurture children. And no matter how much we try to suppress that truth in society and say that we are purely evolved beings or whatever, we cannot get away from that witness that is left in creation. God has designed male and female to be different, and yet they are both image bearers. They both have the dignity of being those created in the image of God.
Right. That's really good. So all this self-defining, all of this, you know, rebellion against what they call a patriarchal dominated culture, empty in the home. You can't be that. You got to be out. All of this push that has happened. What has been the consequence, Mike? Let me give you some stats just to support what you just outlined really well. Listen to this. Before 1960, most women desired to have children. They valued family, chastity, things like abortion, you know, extramarital affairs We're not just the fabric of daily fabric of society, but now here's what's happened. You know, for the first time in history, women have outnumbered the men in the workforce. Before 1960, there was no birth control pill, abortion illegal. 70% in the 1970s believed that it was wrong for men and women to have sex before marriage. Today, you know that 80 to 95% of all women are sexually active before marriage. Average of four partners in their lifetime. Before 1960, there was no cohabitation stats. It was so far off the radar, they didn't even keep track. 44% cohabit before marriage. Marriage is dying altogether. It's rising that half the people in the U.S. believe marriage is obsolete, fulfilling Paul's warning that before Christ comes, people will refuse to marry. Mm. Do you know that 41% of all children born in the U.S. are born to single moms, most out of wedlock? And because of divorce rates, over half of all children in the U.S. do not live with both biological parents. That was barely any in the 70s. Less than one third of all children have a stay-at-home mom. The crazy thing, Mike, is this stuff's only 40 to 50 years old in our country.
Right. And we don't see anything good coming from this. I mean, I think almost any single parent or broken family, broken relationship would prefer that they had two parents, the biological parents, if they could have that, raising their child together in mutual service with one another. I understand people are in terrible relationships and they've had abusive husbands or terrible things have happened that at times it is in fact better if the one is separate. But by and large, on the whole, we see that this is not something that is good. And by and large, on the whole, these things happen because of our own sinfulness and our own selfishness and not taking up the responsibilities that were given to us in marriage. And, you know, and you mentioned, you know, the norm of sex outside of marriage today or before marriage. And how sad is that, that this beautiful gift that God has given us of sex, something that is so wonderful to be experienced only between a husband and a wife, something that is sacred, that gets cheapened and thrown out as just something common when it's abused in so many different ways outside of the covenant and relationship of marriage. And really, this is what sin is. Sin is an abuse of some good gift that God has given. And ultimately, that's what we're not saying sex is bad. Sex is wonderful. It's really, in a sense, the glue that holds a marriage together in some ways, because it's part of the way that the two become one flesh. And there's this relationship of body with body and soul with soul. But it's when the gift is abused that all kinds of problems come out of it. And that's Satan's lie. Satan always wants to abuse a good gift from God.
Right. And so, again, it's just important to reiterate, and you've said this numerous times on the broadcast today, Mike, but this design is God-honoring, and it's beautiful. It's not oppressive. Mm-hmm. Men are called to love their wives sacrificially. Wives are called to submit as unto the Lord to their husbands.
Forgive one another.
Yeah, forgive. You know, care about the other's interests. This is what we Christians are promoting. Right. We're not promoting selfishness. Right. We're not promoting go do your own thing. We're saying be committed through the good and the bad to love one another as you've been loved by Jesus.
Look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others, as Paul puts it in Philippians 2. I mean, who doesn't want a marriage like that?
Right.
Who doesn't want to have a marriage where I have loyalty and commitment that is given to, you know, and I can say after being married for 23 years, there is nothing like having a spouse that I know is loyal to me. I'm going home this evening and I know that my wife, she has my back. She loves me. She's committed to me, even when I have been less than perfect. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have imperfections. No, we don't. Nobody has a absolutely perfect marriage, but the joy of having that loyalty and trust and commitment and service, it outweighs anything that would be difficult and frustrating. And this is God's design. We're saying this is good. If we go back to what God has given us, we actually see more joy and fulfillment.
And we're saying that when you depart from the design, the statistics, like I read, the painful statistics of hurting children and marriages crumbling, all these things, that's the fruit of rebellion from his design.
Exactly.
And you know, if you want to choose that, then don't be surprised when things fall apart.
Exactly.
That's what you have chosen.
Right.
And we're saying on Abounding Grace, we want to help you recover that.
Right.
We want to help people see this beautiful design. Like Mike said earlier, doesn't mean there are not challenges. Doesn't mean it's just some rosy thing all the way along. No, it's hard. It's sacrificial. At times you face discouragement. At times you see these own hardships in your own families. But the Lord is telling us through it that as we honor his design, he is going to take these things. And he's promised as Christians to help us and work them for good.
And there may be times where even as you're giving as a spouse that you don't see that reciprocal giving and love given back to you. It doesn't matter. You don't give in order to get. You give out of obedience to the Lord. But really, all of our listeners, please understand, and we speak now as pastors, it really begins with your relationship with God. It really begins with, am I going to be obedient to him? That's what's going to cause you to be a good husband or a good wife. Start with doing things as unto the Lord.
You know, if you just did that little, I'm sure all of you have heard it, but that little diagram where you have a triangle, you got the man and the woman at the bottom of the triangle, the Lord at the top. You know, if you're not growing in your relationship with the Lord and that relationship's not right, what's going to happen at the triangle?
Right.
If the farther you go up in the triangle, meaning your relationship with the Lord, you two come together.
Right.
But the farther you are growing away from the Lord, guess what's happening? You're separating. And that triangle, you go up and down, you can see where you are.
Right.
That's always been helpful for something practical. But looking at, you know, this curse, Mike, you know, when the curse came to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. That sorrow is something, that struggle is something that happens not just with the conception, when the birth of a child, but it's something that women bear in struggling with their children. We see this throughout history. Raising children, the struggles of raising children, but also your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. She's going to struggle because of the fall with now her position.
Mm-hmm.
She's always going to struggle with that. And the Lord comes to us in the gospel. And this is where I really want to take this in closing today. Maybe you can comment on this. You know, we're looking at a marriage at the beginning, Mike, of Genesis, right? And now that marriage has fallen. Isn't it fascinating that all of history is consummated with a marriage? In other words, Genesis to Revelation, you got a marriage at the beginning, a marriage at the end. And that is Christ returning for his bride.
Right.
And now we as Christians get to reflect the original design as husbands love their wives and as wives submit to their husbands. In other words, our marriages have a goal as we do this. Jesus is coming. There is one more great marriage to take place.
That's right. It's all looking toward that marriage supper of the Lamb when the bride will be with the bridegroom, the church being with Christ. And we look forward to that. That's an excellent point. We see that from beginning to end, running throughout history. And ultimately, that's what our marriages individually are to reflect, is that relationship between Christ and the church.
So to encourage the woman then today, a few concluding thoughts to encourage. Like you've already said, maybe it's difficult and hard and you don't see a lot of fruit from the relationship or the struggle. The Lord is telling us first, whatever you do, do it unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for his glory. He sees these things. He knows what you're facing. He knows the struggles and the hardships. He won't abandon you. Call out to him. Second, remember that your design as a wife reflects the church's response to the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important to encourage with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And go back and read what God has revealed in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through the end of the chapter. And that's helpful. And again, pray for grace. Pray that God will supply you with the grace that you need to fulfill the calling and to fulfill the commitment that you made, even when how you feel about that commitment might change over time. Ask God for grace to remain faithful in your calling, and you do it as unto the Lord. And in many ways, you will find yourself more fulfilled as a marriage partner as you're doing these things as unto the Lord. We're not saying that it's not going to be difficult at times, but God does supply us with the grace we need.
I've always loved Proverbs 31. I've always thought Proverbs 31, as it describes the woman, is a great encouragement to her to be active, to be active in the home, to be doing these things that this, even though society mocks it, the Lord sees as very beautiful, and that you can do these things to glorify Him. So we hope that these this program so far, we've done three of them now on the responsibilities, what marriage is, the responsibilities of the man and the woman. We hope they were a blessing to you. You can download them at the website free of charge. We're going to come back next time and look at God's design for children, how children are to be cared for and loved. We'll even tackle some of the challenging subjects in the future here, such as divorce and remarriage and some of these others. We'd love to hear from you. If you do, right, Mike, you'll take all the questions.
Sure, on absolutely.
So you can write to us through the website. There's a form there, so do please do that. Thanks for taking time to tune in to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Mike Brown and I very much enjoy this privilege to bring these radio broadcasts to you. So again, write to us, send us a note of encouragement, and download the podcast and visit the churches. You have an invite to join us. It's all there on the website. We'd love to meet you and get to know you. If you do come, let one of the ushers know that you are coming from the radio program. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.